Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Well, that we have. We have seen better days around here. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. After we do this Twitter read, we got to give Hugh Douglas some congratulations here. As he's showing off, as you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see that.
My belt. I got the belt.
So hold on quick. WIP Midday Show question. Did the Joel Embiid era end yesterday? Yes or no? Hugh, your guess on the books.
78% no.
60% yes on this one.
I was trying to be optimistic.
You are, and I appreciate that about you. But optimistic or not, this is just realistic. Hugh Douglas has the belt here at WIP this week.
I'm on my way.
So that's, of course, the afternoon show belt given for the best take of the week before. Now, this is one of those things, from my understanding, is someone has to take it from you, right? They don't just give it away after each week.
That's going
to
be tough.
So you could have it for a while. So this is, from what I understand, for all the Tiki Barber stuff last week.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's ironic, Joe.
Yeah.
Because I don't, you know.
Is this a victory speech?
Well, no, it's because it's like, you know, I don't appreciate what Tiki said about Joel Embiid, but, I mean, feels like it kind of tracks a little bit. Here's the one caveat.
Ouch.
Here's the one caveat. You can't talk about our family members.
Yeah.
We can talk about our family.
You can.
You can't talk about our family members.
No, I get that.
So they get the big piece of chicken, but this here belt right here, it's gonna get me in that Hall of Fame.
This
is where it starts.
Well, that's not the first time you've gotten the belt, right?
No, it ain't the first time, but this is the first time you've got the physical belt.
So my question is, what's stopping you from just holding on to that forever? I mean, who's going to physically remove that from you?
Because no way, man, hold on, because I spit fire.
Well, I'm saying, what if you actually just refuse to hand over the belt to whoever's
next? I'm not
going
to do them like that.
Interesting, because you're the biggest one here.
You could actually just take the belt for yourself.
Let's say you can decide
that the belt is yours.
Let's say I have a great week.
And
Spike and Ike say that Giglio gets the belt, and you say no.
Yeah, you're like, nah.
No, I'm not going to.
I'm going to keep it.
What am I going
to do? I will tell you this. They did tell me not to lose it. And when they said that, I got nervous. So I might just, after I take these pictures with, I might just give it back to them.
You're afraid you're going to misplace it?
Doesn't it track for me to misplace something?
And if you misplace the belt, I mean,
that's a nice belt.
That brings me back to my wrestling fan days. It looks like the old Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah. I get to wear it. And thank God they put a couple links in it before I could actually put it around my waist. They got some links in it.
Well, if it fits around yours, it might fall all the way down mine when I put it on.
This is definitely, it's pretty nice.
All right. Well, congrats to Hugh for getting the belt last week.
Fire.
Well, that was a good. No, you brought it with the tiki stuff last week. All right. Well, now it's interesting. This week obviously a lot of Sixers takes early on, right? The Phillies they'll start a series tomorrow in Boston. Mm-hmm. The schedule comes out later this week. I'm trying to guess who's going to get the belt this week. Who am I feeling having a big week around here?
I would probably say ESP.
Oh, well, you know
he's a dark horse.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, especially because the schedule is coming out.
Well, I mean, he put out the mock schedule. What if he nails it pretty close? Might be belt.
Okay, so
that might be take worthy.
Let's get to Ellie and let's get to the schedule. So here's what we know: Thursday night, the NFL schedule will be released. Now, Hugh, what is happening here is some of these networks are putting out some of their big games they want everyone to know about. So the schedule kind of leaks, and if you're like putting together a piece of a puzzle or pieces of puzzle, you can kind of see where it's going and seeing what's happening. So here is something we found out this morning. Without question, we know it. It's not like a random person leaking it. It is NBC telling us. Hugh, the opening Sunday night football game of the season this coming year will be the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. We know that. NBC announced it this morning. So, Hugh, I'm going to put on my schedule detective cap, and I'm going to guess who the Eagles are going to play in week one. If the Giants are playing the Cowboys, my guess is we are playing the Commanders. I believe we're getting the Eagles and the Commanders week one. Last year, week one was an entire NFC East, you know, round robin. It was, but the obviously different opponents. Last year, we played the Cowboys here, and the Giants opened in Washington, if my memory serves, against the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes sense to me to keep the division matchups on the same weekend to start the year. Hugh, I think we're getting the Commanders in week one. We don't know it yet. It's just my guess. But based on what we know, which is Cowboys-Giants, I think we're playing the Commanders week one.
That makes sense, you know, because you want the rivalries, and you talk about the NFC Championship from a few years ago. And, you know, unfortunately for the Commodores, they had a rough start to the season. Yep. Quarterback, I heard it. That makes sense. That would be something that I think people would want to tune into.
Would that be...
And then what, they got the linebacker. They got Styles, didn't they?
Sonny Styles.
Yeah, they got Styles, the linebacker. Yep. Yeah, they got, he ran like a 4-3. So, yeah, I think that would be a pretty good matchup.
I still think the Commanders are going to stink.
They might. They could. So, that's a favorable first game for the Eagles.
I think they have one of the worst rosters in the league.
So you may be right. I thought they didn't have a great roster 2 years ago, though, and they found their way to the NFC Championship game. If Daniels is healthy, it makes them viable. That's how good I thought he was 2 years ago. Now, he wasn't healthy for most last year. Maybe he won't be again. Do we like that if it's the first? If I'm right, do we like that as the first game? Eagles,
sure,
Commanders.
I do. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that one for the first.
Well,
I do. I don't like division matchups week one.
Okay.
I just don't. Like, because we all know week one could be, anything can happen week one. Running the risk of dropping a division game in week one is not a good prospect.
I tend to agree with you. Plus, even though you're new, like the team, every team is new each year, you kind of know the tendencies of the team,
right?
So they know us. They play us twice a year.
Also, like, if I'm the belief that the Eagles are better than the Commanders, I would like both teams to establish themselves in the middle of the season before we see them.
You want to see it with a little bit of work
like
behind.
Like, I mean, the Patriots lost to the Raiders week one last year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's not a division game for them. I'm just saying, like, if there's a time for a team to catch you, it's always week one.
It is. All right, so we're going to find out Thursday night if we don't find out before. My guess is, though, as we sit here today, knowing that the Giants will play the Cowboys, I think we're going to see the Commanders in week one. Now, he was speaking of Elliott today put out his 2026 mock schedule. Now, I want to make sure we're all on the same page with what this is. When I first pulled it up, I thought it was like his guess at what the schedule would be. No, this mm-hmm. is his ideal schedule. Like, if
you mean for the maximum outcome for the Philadelphia?
Yeah, like if you could create a perfect schedule, I guess based on where the bye is or, you know, whatever, home and road and all that kind of stuff, he put his out. Now, I'm not going to go through all 18 weeks of this thing. That feels a little tedious. I will tell you this. In Elliott Shoreparks' mock schedule, he has them home against the Colts in week one, at Arizona week two, versus the Giants in week three, and then a trip to London to play the Commanders in week four. If that's the schedule, if those first four games are the schedule, Hugh, you like that? Colts at home, Cardinals on the road, Giants here, in England against the Commanders. I mean, that does look like a 3-1. I mean,
the Commodores in England?
Dude, that should be 4-0.
Well, at bare minimum, 3-1, right? What's the hardest game on there? Commanders in England?
Colts, maybe?
I kind of like
Colts
the Commanders.
Colts here?
Yeah.
I kind of like the Commanders.
Week one.
He also has the team going 14-3 based on his mock schedule.
Okay. He's talking about, because I guess he's doing like a college kind of schedule.
Well, that is the ideal schedule, he says.
Ramping up, yeah, because you get the tomato tans at the beginning of the season.
I don't think it's unfair to say, like, if everything goes ideally according to plan with the ideal schedule, that, you know,
everyone's healthy and all that kind of stuff.
That's the ceiling he's putting on them. Okay, yeah. Good. You know.
Yeah,
it's not one of his crazier ones.
No. I guess he didn't go 15-2 or 16-1.
I mean, think about the bar here with Elliott.
If the bar is where it is. I agree with that. Okay, so we're going to find more of this stuff out next couple days, and we'll probably find some of the primetime games out pretty soon. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to all things Sixers, is the Embiid era over? I believe it is, even if they have to make us wait for it actually to be over. I think it, in effect, ended yesterday. And you can congratulate Hugh on the belt, which I'm very proud of you for. That's a big accomplishment to have the belt.
I'm on my way. See it? It's right there. See? Have a take.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you had one last week about Tiki.
Yeah. But yeah.
I'm telling you, you should just keep that for yourself.
Keep the belt.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose it, man.
Well,
I gotta,
make them I have to make a new belt to give away.
Yeah, because I keep this one. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll workshop.
So the only the issue we have now with Hugh, though, is remember when he hit the 8-leg parlay 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, now when we're arguing about your taste, you're going to say, well, who had the belt?
I have the belt, yeah.
Now, I did get the belt in December, but I don't think there was a physical belt.
No, I think this is the first time that the belt has been actually handed been out. Passed out.
Yeah. But that takes it to a different level. Yeah, it's cooler.
It really does. Yeah.
It's cooler that you have it than anyone else before that. Let's go to Dee in Glassboro. What's up, Dee?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dee.
So, first off, are you okay, Joe?
I'm better now, yes. Like, I'm better.
All right. He's had time to cool off.
I'm okay. I'm okay, yeah. I'm sorry, Dee, I apologize
really
for yelling. I apologize.
No, it was, I mean, I was highly entertained, but I was also worried out you were going to stroke out there.
No.
Stroke out is crazy.
Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, I'm upset, right. But I'm okay, Dee. I'll be fine.
All right, good. So I think like one of the biggest differences between our reaction to the Flyers getting swept and the Sixers getting swept is the team's effort. Like, just felt like the Flyers really, like they stood on their heads, almost literally, just to win. And then the Sixers, it just didn't feel like they had that fire, that effort to make it, you know?
I totally agree, Dee. And the juxtaposition in the same building one day later, like one team fights, you know, the Flyers fought against a team that was clearly better than them, and it felt like the Sixers didn't fight against a team better than them. When you go down 47 points at home in a playoff game, you've given up. I mean, that's almost impossible.
Yeah, and if the Sixers, it would be a completely different story if the Sixers each game lost by 1 point, 2 points. You know, missed a three-pointer, and that's the way they lost. Like but getting blown out, just so disheartening. And we're tired of it.
I think that's the sentiment. Indeed, that's I think where my frustration an hour ago came from is I'm tired of it. Like I'm just and it's frustrating because I feel fooled this time. Because a week ago, I was just excited as everyone, right? They go to Boston, they win a game seven, like maybe it's different. Maybe they're different. And it's just like delayed the inevitable, which is the same thing we do every, you know, basically every late April or early May with the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, and I, unlike that one gentleman, I was like, I could see Edgecombe's effort. So not mad at him. He did everything he could as a rookie, like as a 20-year-old playing in the NBA. So that's, I was really surprised that guy was really mad at Edgecombe, actually.
It's some adjustments that have to be made, even though you're making tons of money at this level, because you got to remember, most of the time, you're playing against grown-ass men. Yeah. So, yeah, it's some adjustments that have to be made.
Yeah, and every young player has to. And, Dee, great phone call, and we appreciate it. Thank you for checking in on me. I'll be fine. I'll be fine once in a while. We crash out and we come back.
I was worried about you early in the show.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it was a lot for, yeah. I mean, like, we're talking first hour and a half maybe, right?
Or, yeah, I was a little nervous.
It was a lot.
I think 12 o'clock was the break. Jay was the breaking point.
Jay really.
And I feel, actually, it felt great to scream at Jay.
Yeah,
I'm
cathartic.
It totally. I feel like I got the weight off my shoulders.
You got it off your chest.
I feel myself again.
It's kind of like screaming into a pillow.
Yes.
You could just get to yell at Jay.
Yes. Now, a lot of people heard me scream into a pillow. That's different than doing it at home by yourself. But like,
it's the radio equivalent of screaming into a pillow.
Yes. Here's what it was. And I think he was just using Edgecombe. It's whataboutism. What about this?
Which is Jay's like bread and butter.
What
about this guy? What about that guy that we're not talking about?
Leave my guy alone and we'll yell about this and that. And the Edgecombe thing set me off because if there's one thing about the Sixers that you just, like, how do you feel anything but optimistic? It's VJ Edgecombe. Again, no one said he's
going to play with a lot of heart, too.
Yes.
For such a young player. And I think the disconnect is that he did play with a lot of heart for a young guy. You don't expect to see that from such a young guy.
And he held his own with some really good older players.
And then you just think, because it's we used to call it man strength. You know, one thing to be young, but then it's like that grown-ass man.
Sure.
It's a little different when you're playing against grown men.
Oh, he'll grow into himself,
Yeah, he's going to have, like, the whole off-season as a pro, right? So he'll be able to work out with the team and sort of get on the same track as what they want him to do.
And on the flip side of that, when you talk about Porter Marton, mm-hmm. and what he benefited from.
Yep.
He benefited from the fact that he went to school, he got a chance to work out,
yes,
and put a little bit of muscle on. And even you even saw where the head of the curve as he was, he was still kind of behind.
You saw the wall a little bit.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. There you go,
same
Kyle.
With VJ.
When you're talking about the Hurricanes. You see the difference.
Yep.
You know, and the mentality and everything. So that's why, you know, I hear what people is talking about when they're talking about the younger guys. But it takes a minute to come into your own.
To be honest with you, I thought he did about as good of a job as you could do on Jalen Brunson.
Me too.
Guarding him.
Yep.
I mean, Jalen Brunson's going to make shots. So, but like, I thought he forced him into a lot of tough looks.
The one quote I saw from Edgecombe yesterday after the game that I loved, where he was talking about his offense, right? I think his defense is always going to be really good, but he mentioned something like they left him alone, open shooting. He said that will never happen again.
Yep. Like, because they were like, basically no respect.
It makes me think we're going to hear stories this offseason that he's locked himself in the gym and he's going to probably start shooting
Friday.
Well, here's the thing. I think he shot 36% from three as a rookie. I'm not saying it's easy to make the kind of jump I'm talking about, but in the next few years, if he goes from 36% to 40 with his, because he's going to score on dunks and breakaways by accident because of his athleticism, right? Yeah. He'll steal and he'll run out and dunk and alley-oop and all that. If he could go from where he is now to becoming a good or very good three-point shooter, I mean, that's how an all-star will be born. I mean, it's not hard to see the path to where VJ Edgecombe 2 or 3 years from now is scoring 25 points a game in the NBA. He just averaged 16,
and he doesn't
even know how to shoot yet.
Totally agree with that. And with his work ethic and the way that he's going to attack this offseason, yeah, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, ironically,
imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the one thing that Morey probably will have on the feather in his cap to save his job the most, right? Like, I took him.
Yeah.
Was it over
Ace Bailey?
Yeah, like as much as I wanted Edgecombe, that wasn't a lockdown slam dunk pick. That was a question, like who would it be? Who should it be?
Yeah.
That was the right pick. That one they nailed. Let's go to Tyrone, who's up on WIP. What's up, Tyrone?
Yo,
Tyrone, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'm from North Philly. I live in West Columbia, South Carolina. I'm first time, long time.
Oh, I appreciate it, Tyrone. What are you feeling today?
Yeah, so anyway, hear me out, Joe. Hear me out. Okay. And I'm not an Embiid apologist. I think it starts at the top, of course, with Josh Harris, ownership. You know, he got a hockey team in Jersey, football team in Washington. He's a New Yorker, so he really doesn't have the heart of a Philadelphian, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. or surrounding areas. So I feel like when Embiid came back early, from the appendectomy, that probably was too soon, but he gave us what he gave us in Boston, and without him, you know, we don't get three of those wins. We won the first one without him. But I think the wealth should go around as far as the blame. Paul George had 15 in one game, nothing in the second half. We could have won that game if he would have probably gave us like 25 to 30. Maxie didn't have his usual, you know, output. VJ, he probably was spent from doing all he did against Boston because he helped us win that second game with the 30. You know, Oubre, he was consistent with his hustle like he always is as the fifth starter, and he had 22 one game for what? Because we didn't win that. And I just think that they were, you know, the Knicks, the Nova Knicks, they was a lot deeper than us, but I just feel like with Embiid, he doesn't have the rebounding ability no more. His defense isn't there. He had some key block shots against Boston, had a couple against New York, you know, and I would trade him, you know, just like y'all said, for the right, you know, piece, but it's going to be hard because of his contract. But I think we needed more from, you know, Paul George consistently throughout because we could at least, you know, stay facing one or two of those games, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, they could have, Tyler. I mean, game two was one where they could have, I mean – Game one, they just were dead. But game two and game three were possible, and they weren't good enough those nights.
Exactly, and they played good on the road. Yep. That's the thing about it.
Well, Maxie said that. Maxie said they felt like they played better out there in New York than they played here.
Yeah, and I hate that because we're Philadelphians, man, to our core, and have New York come down being that's the city that we rival against as well as Boston, and to have that kind of takeover, man, is real, real disheartening. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I don't make excuses for Embiid. He's my guy as far as a center. But like you said, all these years he's been hurt and hasn't been able to give you, you know, a good season of playing at least, you know, 65 to 70 games the year he won the MVP. I guess his best run would have been that Jimmy Butler, you know, run. And you know what I'm saying with Tobias Harris when we lost in Toronto. And in addition to that, I was at one of those Atlanta games.
Oh, no.
Right before Ben Simmons failed to take the shot at home when he passed it off to Matisse Thybulle. But I just think that, man, you know, it should go around. I don't know who the guy Jay was, because he was trying to include Paul George as well as VJ. I don't think he was just trying to single out VJ as well only, but he was trying to take some of the, you know, the blame off.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to do. He's an MB guy. And Tyrone, good phone call. We appreciate it. And look, if you want to say Maxie wasn't good enough, I agree. You want to say George fell off, I agree. It was the Edgecombe thing that I couldn't do that.
But yeah, well, I get where people are coming from. But it's, I guess for some, it's not so much on the younger players because I think they're part of the solution.
Yeah, of course.
Not saying that Joel Embiid's a part of the problem, but he's been here longer. And he's the one that I think a lot of people still have angst over.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. And he's the common denominator of all of this. Yeah. I mean, him and the owner, I guess. I mean, Maury hasn't been here the whole time, though he's been here a while now. The coach hasn't been here very long. I mean, it's with every one of these teams, there's common denominators to all these years. And Joel is the common denominator along with Harris. Let's go to Mark in Woodbury Heights. Mark.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Mark, good afternoon.
It's our annual Sixer second round or before exit discussion.
Yes, it is. We could just write this on the calendar every year, Mark. We'll just do it every time.
We should have a parade of fools, okay? Maury, Colangelo, Brett Brown, Hinkie, these fools, and they are fools, who ran this organization for the last 10 to 12 years, made one dumbass decision after another, making millions of dollars and making the most stupid, foolish, asinine decisions that an organization can make, makes me want to throw my guts up. When I watch Mikal Bridges out there and you drafted him and traded him within 30 minutes for Zaire Smith, a local guy who won a national championship, you didn't see his potential, and you traded him for this guy who played, what, 5 minutes in the NBA?
Yep, he had a sesame allergy that took him out.
All right, well, I could go from that. You give Embiid this contract, how are you going to trade him, Joe?
You can't. I mean, no one's taking him. Nobody.
Who's going? Joe, how are you going to move on from him? Would you want him?
No. No one would. No one would.
This guy, year after year, we say the same exact thing. Go back to last year's tape. Go back to the year before. The Raptors series. The Hawks. I could go on and on. Game 7 at Boston a couple years ago, where they got crushed. We say the same thing every single year. It is utterly ridiculous. These fools, and they're fools, Joe, in all due respect, making millions of dollars. Millions. And put these guys out there. I mean, okay, we beat Boston. Great. You get blown away at home with half the building that's got New York fans in there. I'm done. I am done with this organization. I'm finished. I hope the Phillies can get their heads screwed on right. It is a joke, gentlemen. A joke. Thank you for your time. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
That was an amazing call, Mark.
That is wild.
The way he ended it was so good.
Mark, you ain't done, though. I mean, I know you feel in some kind of way. You're not done.
Well, he feels done today.
He does. Enough is, done sometimes enough is enough.
You know what? He called
and then
the Phillies.
Come right back.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, he did. He did. But and he ain't going.
It's
way.
Institutional pain, what you're hearing there.
That yeah, that's is, what that is.
That is 40 years of pain.
He's been wearing it for a while.
Just one dumbass after the other, a parade of fools.
I do like the idea of like a reverse parade where we have them walk through the streets and we all just boo them and throw things at them.
If they set up a parade of fools,
that sounds on brand.
Millions would attend. Could you imagine the attendance? I would love to broadcast from the Philadelphia Parade of Fools.
Yeah, well.
That would be amazing.
Look, if we're going to celebrate him the way we do,
we just march Maury down the street and everyone could boo him. It would be amazing.
He's in handcuffs.
That is wild.
It's necessary, though, considering the team he's built here. All right, 215-592-9494.
Did you drop a God bless the United States?
Yes, that's how he ended it.
That was wild.
God bless you guys. God bless the United States
God
of America.
God bless you, Mark.
Out! God bless you. Yes, God bless you. That's a hell of a phone call. Thank you. All right, your phone calls here. We'll get to some calls. Plus, we'll get to the other big story from the Phillies game this weekend that we haven't talked about yet. We didn't miss it. It was a big one. We'll hit that next. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Guess what, everybody? Wawa is expanding its freshly prepared food lineup with tacos. These cheesy, beefy tacos feature warm tortillas filled with Wawa savory seasoned beef and fresh toppings. The new tacos deliver a craveable, handheld alternative to your protein options. You can get two choices of options on your taco. You can get, well, first of all, you can get your choices in beef, chicken, steak, black beans, or shredded cheddar cheese, and you get two spreads and one fresh topping. The one I got was garlic aioli. It was really, really good, people. And I got the shredded lettuce because, you know, I got to get that vegetable thing going. All packed in a 6-inch soft tortilla for when you're on the go. Wawa seasoned beef offering introduces a new way for you to enjoy your bold flavor on the go, anchored by tacos as the hero, and seasoned beef available across multiple platforms. The platforms that I'm talking about are quesadillas, tacos, burritos, and bowls, but all of it's for a limited time, so get to your favorite taco spot right now, and that's Wawa. The lineup allows you to mix and match, enjoy multiple items, making it easy to build meals that fit your appetite. Check out Wawa's new seasoned beef tacos at your local Wawa today.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.